Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we'll be talking about the 50th anniversary of the Oregon Beach Bill and why that's so important, why Oregon is so unique. Today in the studio, I have Court Carrier. He is the executive director of the Cannon Beach Chamber of Commerce. And we'll find out about events happening on Saturday, May 13th in Cannon Beach, why those events are happening in Cannon Beach, the significance of May 13th, and all about the Oregon Beach Bill. So, good morning, Court. We're so happy to have you in the studio today.
It's great to be here to be welcomed by my friend and colleague, Donna Quinn. Thank you so
exactly.
much.
Exactly. And Court and I actually both serve on the board of the Oregon Coast Visitors Association, which is one of the sponsors of this 50th anniversary celebration happening on Saturday, May 13th, along with Travel Oregon, the Oregon State Parks Department, and the Cannon Beach Chamber of Commerce, and, of course, the Oregon Coast Visitors Association. Court, before we talk about the Oregon Beach Bill, why it's so unique, and the celebration happening in Cannon Beach on May 13th, please tell the listening audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm delighted to be here as an Oregonian now. I wasn't always, but it is very, I think, significant to point out that I moved here 50 years ago in 1967 when the Oregon Beach Bill became a bill. And that was when I was a freshman in high school. I began my tourism career at about that time, beginning to work in different entry-level positions throughout the industry, and had the opportunity to work at Glacier National Park, Salishan Lodge on the coast, the Benson Hotel, Timberline Lodge, and on and on and on. It has been my life, and it's been a true joy to be able to provide service to visitors and guests in many different locations. But I have to say, I've got a real passion for the coast. It's been one of my favorite places. And who would have believed that I would end up in Cannon Beach as the chamber director?
And you've been the chamber director for how long now?
2.5 years now. And it's just been a great opportunity to really help the community craft and develop their industry and try to do it in a sustainable travel method. We're looking at a goal of trying to bring people when there are not people there. And so we're hoping to be able to develop that. And it really is in keeping with the environmental ethic that came out as a result of the Oregon Beach Bill.
Yes, absolutely. The North Coast is seeing a lot of tourism now. Central Coast, yes, Newport Aquarium, all of that, yes. And South Coast is wanting more tourism. So they're developing infrastructure right now about that. So I want to go back to the establishment of the Oregon Beach Bill, but it doesn't even go back to Tom McCall. It even goes back further to Oswald West. But first, I did some research, and here are some facts I found out, which I thought were interesting. So I'm hoping that you will find those interesting as well. Some 70% of the Earth's surface consists of oceans, and we all own those oceans. But getting access to what we own isn't always easy or even possible. Half the population of the U.S. lives within 50 miles of the coast, but 70% of coastal land is privately owned, and the percentage is increasing all the time. A relatively small group of private owners constitutes a blockade to a much larger group of common owners, the people. Oregon has what is known as the people's coast. Coastal access is one arena in which the weight of precedent stands squarely on the commoner's side. The public trust doctrine, which goes back to Roman times, declares that waterways are inherently public and cannot be sold even if the sovereign wants to. However, we know that that isn't the case. Then in a lot of, on the East Coast, certainly, there's a lot of private ownership, a lot of development. Scientists have said that Hurricane Sandy might not have been destructive had the tidal lands that soaked up floodwaters not been drained and developed, because jetties, bulkheads, and seawalls were erected, and that hastens erosion. And sand dunes, which we love, our Oregon sand dunes, they block rising waters, but those, you know, for profitable ocean views, those were bulldozed. So we are very fortunate here in Oregon. And a little bit about the background, and then Court, just jump in at any time, but a little bit about the background on how Oregon's Beach Bill came to be. The Oregon Beach Bill was a piece of landmark legislation in the United States in the state of Oregon passed by the 1967 session of the Oregon legislature. It established public ownership of land along the Oregon coast from the water up to 16 vertical feet above the low tide mark where vegetation begins. So the background on this is after Oregon achieved statehood in 1859, the completion of railroads through the Coast Range Mountains encouraged land development along the Oregon shore. In 1874, the Oregon State Land Board began selling public tide lands to private landowners. Resorts grew up around the beaches at Seaside, Newport, and Rockaway, and the newly completed railroads brought tourists from the population centers of the Willamette Valley for weekend vacations. By 1901, about 23 miles of tide land had been sold. However, in 1911, Governor Oswald West, thank you, Oswald West, was elected on the promise to reclaim Oregon's beaches as public land. The legislature favored the privatization of these lands, but West was able to make an argument for public ownership based on the need for transportation. He was very clever the way he did this. The 1913 legislatures declared the entire length of the Oregon shore from Washington to California as a state highway.
Yay.
Yes, the beach is a state highway. That's what Oswald West figured out. And the legislators also created the State Highway Commission, which began the construction of Highway 101. And the Parks and Recreation Department, a branch of the Highway Commission, bought land for 36 state parks along the coastal highway, an average of about every 10 miles. And with the completion of the highway and the park system, coastal tourism skyrocketed. However, so this all was going well. But then in 1966, Oregon's public lands claim was challenged by Cannon Beach Motel owner William Hay, who owned the Surf Sand. And we have a whole different story on the Surf Sand today, which we'll talk a little bit about, right?
You bet.
So William Hay fenced some dry sands above the high tide line, and he reserved it for private use. Citizens complained to the state government. State legislators put forward the Oregon Beach Bill, modeled on the Texas Open Beaches Act, because Texas was actually ahead of us on the beach, on protecting their beaches, although they're having a lot of challenges right now. And conservative Republicans and coastal developers called the bill a threat to private property rights, and it nearly died in the legislature. In response, Republican Governor Tom McCall staged a dramatic media event on May 13th. Where did he do that?
He flew into Cannon Beach, you know, on a helicopter and with the media in tow to make sure that people would understand and appreciate the incredible magnitude of this taking of public land and trying to convert it to private use. And it wasn't just Cannon Beach. It was all up and down the Oregon coast. So he was using it to make a statement and make sure that everyone rose up and said, this can't be happening. And he encouraged a flood of letters and calls to legislators to make sure that they were aware that this is not something that people were going to stand for.
Absolutely. So that media, he brought surveyors and scientists, and all the media coverage resulted in an overwhelming public support for the bill. So the bill was passed by the legislature, and now we have the People's Coast. And the Beach Bill, for a little more information on this, and then we'll start talking in broader terms about what's happening on the Oregon coast. But the Beach Bill declares that all wet sand within 16 vertical feet of the low tide belongs to the state of Oregon. And in addition, it recognizes public easements on all beach areas up to the line of vegetation, regardless of underlying property rights. The public has free and uninterrupted use of the beaches, and property owners are required to seek state permits for building and other uses of the ocean shore. So, 363 miles, Court.
It's just unbelievable. And thank God for Oswald West for that initial idea of protecting the lands as a public highway. It's still, you know, recognized here. You can see, you know, the evidence of this. You go down to Hug Point and take a look at the auto route that was carved around Hug Point, and the ruts are still there in the cliffside. There was no highway at that point in time, and people did have to transport themselves by car to get down onto the beaches and travel down the coast. And so did the farmers and the cattle, to be able to ship to market. It was just a remarkable thoroughfare for those different purposes. And it, were it not for that, you know, we would not have had this incredible uprising in 1967 in reaction to the private taking of public land.
Yeah, I mean, again, Oswald West and Tom McCall, I mean, without them, this would not exist. And there are organizations which continue to be vigilant and work on coastal issues. And one of those is the Surfrider Foundation. And that's worldwide. And Surfrider Foundation, they believe that beach access is a universal right and it's necessary for the public's enjoyment of the beach. And so they work all throughout the world. And they say that, you know, many of us take beach access for granted, but, you know,
public
we
access
shouldn't.
Is critical. It's just so very, very important. And you made the comment about other locations. Were we in the same boat that other people are, where they have privatized their beaches and their land? I went up to visit my brother in Seattle one time, and we went out walking along the beach in West Seattle at Alki Point. We sat down on a driftwood log to have a little bite of lunch and, you know, box lunch, and a homeowner came screaming out of his house, yelling and cursing at us to get off his land.
No.
And it truly was remarkable what an impact that it had on me. And I had been, you know, in Oregon at that point in time, and truly it magnified the incredible impact that the Oregon Beach Bill was having on Oregon.
You know, because the thing is, especially on the East Coast, there are threats to beach access, and they come in so many forms, Court, like policy restrictions or physical barriers, economic limitations, coastal development modifications, future climate change impacts even. And so developers who want to develop and get rid of the sand dunes, and of course the sand dunes are one of our most prized, you know, resources here on the Oregon coast.
You know, the dunes are appreciated for so many different reasons, for their scenic beauty and for their recreational opportunities and for their protection of the coastline when it comes to, you know, heavy storms or flooding. They're just such an integral part of the beach. And you look at the kind of opportunities that people have had to be able to enjoy and recreate. The National Dunes Recreation Area down near Florence is a great example of that, a marvelous place to be able to enjoy it for all people.
And so we continue to have to be vigilant. Again, I would also encourage anyone who's interested in SOLVE, which cleans up the Oregon beaches, and also the Surfrider Foundation. Go to the beach, enjoy the beach, and then be vigilant and educate yourselves about any potential threats. At this point in time, it appears that we feel like we're pretty confident that in Oregon we're protected.
We're doing a fairly good job of it, and those organizations are very important to us. I think that constant reminder, at least a few times a year with the Solve Beach cleanups, has been truly educational and important. And I know that when I go out on the beach and I'm walking regularly with our dog, I never come back without a handful of debris that needs to be removed. And it's that kind of attitude that we truly appreciate and that Oregonians seem to exemplify.
Yes, I think Oregonians embrace that. And our coastal resources are, you know, it is a fragile ecosystem. And that one of the things I appreciate about the Oregon Coast Visitors Association and Travel Oregon is that they are aware of that. So we have to, which is another reason why, as you mentioned, bringing more tourism in, you know, the October through May timeframe instead of everybody at once in the summer, that's something that everybody is working on. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today, we're talking about the 50th anniversary of the Oregon Beach Bill. And there is a celebration happening, a kickoff celebration in Cannon Beach. This is being sponsored by Travel Oregon, the Oregon State Parks Department, the Oregon Coast Visitors Association, and the Cannon Beach Chamber of Commerce. It's Saturday, May 13th. Today in the studio, I have Court Carrier. He is the executive director of the Cannon Beach Chamber of Commerce. Court, tell us about Saturday, May 13th in Cannon Beach.
Well, this was a great idea that had come about through Travel Oregon and the Oregon Coast Visitors Association and Oregon State Parks to collaborate on an event that would truly signify the import and the legacy that we have received as a result of the Oregon Beach Bill. And because it actually began in the coast of Oregon during that exact time, May 13th was that date that Governor McCall flew into Cannon Beach. And he did that not just to warn people that this was impending and that we had to protect ourselves. It was everywhere along the coast that these developments were beginning to take place. So this celebration of the Beach Bill, a 50th year, it is such a legacy that we now have received. And it's an opportunity for us to truly celebrate the legacy and how people can enjoy it and how they have enjoyed it for the past 50 years. Whether they are residents or visitors alike, they have this opportunity to revel in the activities and the enjoyment and the nature and the environmental aspects of it. It's what has made our North Coast so amazingly beautiful and incredibly important to all of the people here and abroad.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And I actually just heard that a couple of people came back from Cannon Beach a couple of days ago and said they saw puffins.
Puffins
so,
are in.
Very exciting. So, all right, Saturday, May 13th, that's a significant day. Tell us what's going to happen, and it starts early in the morning.
It's going to be a full day worth of activities sprinkled all throughout the day, and everything is free of charge. You know, it's going to be a celebration that everyone will want to take part in. But it'll begin very early in the morning with our Haystack Rock Awareness Program, who's going to offer their interpretive services at low tide and let people come see the tide pools and the puffins and the birds nesting on Haystack Rock. But they're also going to be celebrating beach safety on a special presentation during that day from 6:30 in the morning till 12:30 in the afternoon during low tide. It's also going to feature a demonstration sandcastle build by one of the master teams that has been featured in the Cannon Beach Sandcastle Festival. They have to have won a major competition to participate in that festival, and this group, Form Finders, is coming down from Olympia to be able to showcase and demonstrate a 6-foot-tall major sandcastle build that people will be able to see and enjoy. Following.
Okay, wait. If people want to come really early, because a lot of people will want to, this is a big day. This is a significant day.
You bet.
So if they're down there at 6:30 a.m., that's when you said that the Haystack Rock Awareness folks
they'll
are going to be there.
They'll be out there in force to begin to talk to people. And immediately at 7 o'clock, the builders will begin at 7 a.m. in the morning to be able to start their sandcastle build.
What a great thing to do. Take your family, again, to at low tide to get to see the tide pools and the puffins and the birds. And then at 7, the sandcastle. I mean, bring a breakfast sandwich, a croissant, and a cup of coffee, and come down there for that. Okay, so the sandcastle demonstration, and you said that has a theme, right?
It is going to feature the 50th anniversary of the Beach Bill theme, and they're going to do a special design and build just for that reason. That will be followed by presentations starting at 9:30 in the morning by various dignitaries, including our Mayor Sam Stidell, the Oregon State Parks Director Lisa Sumption, the head of the Oregon Coast Visitors Association, Marcus Hins, and the new incoming chair of the Oregon Tourism Commission, our very own Ryan Snyder, who is with Martin Hospitality, and they are going to be presenting. What an incredible and important impact that this has had on the entire coastline, 363 miles of it, and on Cannon Beach, too.
It's really a celebration. I mean, it's a wonderful way to go and celebrate what really is a win-win for everyone. And we need good news like this. We need to celebrate good news like this with other folks. So, okay, so visiting dignitary presentations from 9:30 to 10:30.
And then, right at the end of that presentation, we're actually going to have an art unveiling. Cannon Beach is known for art, one of the best 100 art towns in America, and we have a couple panels of a mural that are going to be put up right at that entrance to the beach on the Ecola Gower Street ramp, and they're going to feature that unveiling and have that presentation of the artwork at that particular location right at about 10:30 in the morning, and that's also going to feature a little mini pocket park on the ramp, which will include physically disabled wheelchair access that will be available to anyone that is disabled. And that's a brand new development, that providing the access. That's what we're talking about today, you know, making sure that everyone has the ability to access the coast. And that's an important part of that also. As soon as that's over, then people can go out on the beach and enjoy demonstrations of all these great beach activities that are taking place. And we're going to have the beach bikes out there demonstrating with all the various different kinds of bikes that are out there on the beach. We're going to have a hike, a guided hike by the North Coast Land Conservancy. They're going to take people from that location, and it's going to be a guided hike with Tom Horning, their in-house geologist, talking all about the beach and how it was formed and the importance of the beach. And he'll be doing that, you know, from the Surf Sand Resort area down to Silver Point and back. While that's going on, informal demonstrations of surfing and kite flying. We're inviting everybody, if they are a surfer, come down and surf. If they're a kite flyer, come out and enjoy yourself on the beach that day. You know, it's meant to encourage people to take advantage of this public coast and truly enjoy it, you know, and be able to do something that they truly like to do.
And, you know, we need to set this example, and hopefully there will be a lot of photos that will go throughout the nation, and people can see what we have here, and maybe they can really stave off some of these challenges, because, you know, there's, as the population increases, there are more challenges. Think about what Hawaii would be like, by the way, because Hawaii, Texas, and Oregon are considered the models for, you know, good beach access for the public. And what would it be like if those were private beaches?
I struggle to think what would have happened if that had not occurred back in 1967. You know, the access to the beach and the ability to be able to truly go out and enjoy that is just incredibly important. And looking at the kinds of things they've done ever since in developing state parks and the ability to pull off at a very nice scenic viewpoint and take advantage of the views that we've got here, we truly are blessed with some of the finest scenery in the entire world. And that would not be there were it not for the beach bill.
That's why the Oregon coast, that, you know, is wild and scenic and pristine in many areas. And that's so, okay, then there's going to be a lunch break.
Lunchtime, we got to give people an opportunity to take advantage of the other part of the beach, and that is the bounty of the beach and having something to eat. And, you know, we've got all sorts of, you know, restaurants that are ready and available for people to go out and enjoy whatever kind of food they might like. And it will range from the simplest of foods like fish and chips or hot dogs. We've got a brand new hot dog and charcuterie place that's opening up soon. And, you know, those easy, simple kind of grab-and-go type foods that are truly things that people might like, on up to the new breweries and the fine dining, things that they can take advantage of. There's something for everybody, and they'll truly have an opportunity to enjoy that and celebrate what we have going on the Oregon beaches during this weekend.
Well, it's Saturday, May 13th. The place to be is Cannon Beach, for sure. And then after lunch, what happens?
Well, we've got a little beach volleyball setup that's going to be taking place right next door to the Surf Sand Resort at the Hallmark Resort, and that's going to be something that can be fun for some people that want to have a pickup game of volleyball. But in the afternoon, there's going to be some really fun activities that are going to take place, and one of them is going to be a demonstration of paddleboarding. And if you haven't tried that yet, you might want to come and watch it and see what it's like. There'll be a demonstration of the paddleboarding on Ecola Creek, and that's going to be done by CJ Johnson and her Clatsop Paddle Company, which will be really fun. That'll be from, you know, 2:30 to 3:30 in the afternoon. Then during that time, what is really a unique activity that we're excited about, there's going to be a music presentation and discussion by the leader of the Weather Machine Band, Slater Smith. And his band was, you know, contracted to go up and down the coast, all 363 miles, and craft an album and be inspired by every part of the coast. So they have done that, and they are now recording the tracks and making things happen. And their band leader, Slater Smith, will be in Cannon Beach performing at the Cannon Beach Chamber Community Hall from 3:15 till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That'll be one of the capstone events. And the last one that we'll follow up with is an evening activity, which is going to be the true coastal celebration, a community bonfire on the beach with s'mores. And everyone's invited. You know, we want people to be there all day, truly enjoy themselves, take advantage of this great legacy that we've got, and have fun as a family and really create some memories.
And you're providing the s'more materials.
S'mores are going to be provided. Come down and enjoy yourself. You know, we hope that you'll be there early so that you won't run out. You know, but we are definitely going to have a lot of people down there, and we're going to provide a lot of food for folks to have some fun.
Yes, a campfire on the beach. That's just what you think of. Quintessential Oregon beach experience. Court, we just have a few minutes left. Anything else we haven't talked about or anything else you'd like to remind the listening audience about before we have to end the program?
Well, I just think it's a great opportunity. When you look at a 50th anniversary, those things don't come along very often. And if you have ever had a beach experience that you truly loved, if you have a family that you want to create some memories, if you want to bring your mother down for Mother's Day and enjoy, you know, this incredible activity that's going on Mother's Day weekend on May 13th, then you should take advantage of it. But remember, this whole purpose is to celebrate the amazing legacy that we have received as a result of the Oregon Beach Bill. Come down, think about, you know, the impact that it's had on your lives, and look at the future and see what can you do to continue this legacy, to help things out, to help protect and preserve and keep our environment clean. It's just such an amazing thing. We all need to be a part of it.
Absolutely. Well said. You know, and since we're talking about the beach and the ocean, right now I have in my hands the official Oregon Coast Visitor Guide, which is produced by the Oregon Coast Visitors Association. And there's a little, at the end, there's a little beach safety reminder. And I think I'm just going to say a couple of those quick things, which is to remember when you are visiting the coast, especially here, the beautiful rugged Oregon coast, is never turn your back to the ocean because unexpected waves can sweep you out to sea. Know the tides and watch for logs. Tides, you can find little tide, the tide guides. They have them at Inland Marine, I know, and I'm sure they have them at other places up and down the coast. Stay on accessible high ground when storm agitated surf is on the beach, and avoid walking on coastal bluffs, which can collapse, causing injury, because we have a wild coast. We have, thank heaven, we have a natural coast. And then for links to tide tables, you can go to the Oregon Coast website and find that out. The other thing, next week, my guests are going to be from the Wildlife Center of the North Coast. We're going to be talking about baby animals and what to watch for, because I've seen some little baby seals, you know, kind of struggling, and we're supposed to leave them alone. We're supposed to just not do anything. So we have wildlife. We have tide pools. We have stunning views. I mean, the Oregon coast really has pretty much everything, doesn't it, Court?
It's fabulous. And we truly encourage everybody to come down on May 13th, that weekend, and celebrate the entire coastal area here. We have such great assets in Seaside and Astoria, Warrenton, and Cannon Beach. Make a day or a weekend of it and truly remember what an impact the Beach Bill has had on you.
Yes, and going to the coast is good for your health, because at the coast, you get negative ions, and we're surrounded by positive ions, which are computers and all this technology. That's why you feel so good if you've had a day at the beach. So I encourage everyone to celebrate in Cannon Beach, the 50th anniversary of Oregon's Beach Bill, excuse me, on Saturday, May 13th in Cannon Beach. Thank you so much, Court.
Donna, thank you. It's been a great pleasure being here today.
Great to have you as well. And thank you so much for engineering our wonderful Kate Brister, and my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Brunn for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. It's so good for your body, mind, and spirit. It relaxes all of you. We hold our breath. We don't realize it. And then, after taking that deep breath, focus on the things that are going well in your life with gratitude. There will always be those things that don't go well, but focus on the things that are going well. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can. Everyone really is. And for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.